This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Are you tired of endlessly searching for work? Applying for jobs, never hearing back? Job openings vanish into thin air? What if there was one connection you could make and that'll link you to dozens of companies that are hiring? What if the connection was a locally owned business ready to help you and they don't charge you? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Expresspros.com.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. Yesterday, at the end of the show, we were drinking whiskey. Show was over, and we have a new sponsor, Keeper's Heart, and they brought in the whiskey. Now, Marvin and Todd aren't whiskey drinkers, and this is award-winning. You know, they're a relatively new company, and their distiller, the big guy, came over from Ireland. He's making Irish American whiskey, and all of a sudden they're pouring out little, you know, thimbles of whiskey. Marvin shoots his, and I go, "Wait, you're supposed to sip it, and you just tossed it down." Todd, same way. I go, no, you sip whiskey.
Yeah, I found out very quickly I was drinking it the wrong way.
And then I asked Marvin today, were you buzzed yesterday when we were drinking whiskey?
After the first one, I was like, woo.
Yeah, you're supposed to sip. Didn't you notice, you know, Paulie and Seton and I, we were just sipping it?
No, I was ready to. All right, cheers, everybody.
You were getting after it a little. I know, we cheered. We were like, yeah, chin. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, you drank yours? And then we had to. We were trying different brands there that they had. And there was a bourbon one or whiskey one, and then all of a sudden we're just sipping it. And next thing you know, you've had four or five of them. And I was okay, but I was worried about you and Fritzy. Yes, he.
That's what happens, though, when you go to Ireland or so. Well, at least for some of us. The only time I ever went to Ireland, when I was in Dublin, I had lined up some whiskey tours, and by, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning, I was 5 deep. I was like, oh, my God, how am I going to survive the rest of the day?
Yeah, and I said to them, well, we're going to Ireland, so if you guys want to come over to Ireland with us, and then we could have a little meet and greet and have some whiskey. I like it. You know, the things you guys get to do that it falls under the category of work-related.
Got to stay late today.
Yeah. Wait, the other day we were drinking beer. We were testing beer. And yeah. I'm like, okay, guys, you got to stay after. Why do we have to stay after? We're gonna test some beer.
Oh, come on.
And then I said yesterday, remember, we're drinking whiskey after the show. Yes, Todd.
Those guys were a lot of fun to hang out with. I was talking to, I guess, the distiller, if I'm using the right term, with the real thick Irish accent. And he went from a very respectable, I guess, company to, and he went all the way to Minnesota from Ireland and brought this company from the ground up and created all these amazing alcoholic beverages, and he's got quite a story.
Yep. Yeah, one of the best in the world at doing this. Yes, Paul.
I once went with an old girlfriend, and we went to around Europe, and we flew to the first place we got to was Amsterdam. We landed at 8 a.m. and we had nothing to do, and we couldn't check in the hotel yet. We got these shoulder bags, and of course we went right over to the Heineken Brewery, which is a centrally located big brewery, obviously in Amsterdam. And we just started pounding. We did the tour, experimental beers, and got absolutely hammered by about 11:45 a.m. Went back to the hotel and slept like 6 hours.
But well, that's part of the problem when you land in Europe.
Yeah.
You land in the morning, and then you got to wait like 6 hours. So what do? Waiting 6 hours. When we go to Dublin, we're going to get there in the morning, and then we have to wait for our hotel rooms so we can go over there. Now, I was told by a seasoned traveler, plow through the first day. Don't take a nap. And I went, I don't think that's going to work. I'm going to need a nap or a long extended nap before we're ready to go. Yes, Paul.
Last time I was in Dublin, there are a handful of bars that were kind of grandfathered in with hours, and they're open, I think, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They can open if they choose to. And we found one just outside the airport. It looked like it was about to fall over, but you know what? They were serving at 9:15 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think I need to do that. I'd rather go play golf if I landed and went to, and you know, then I probably will be in better shape than if I go to the bar at 8 or 9 in the morning. Yes, Todd?
Doesn't it matter what you have on your schedule after those next few days before you give somebody advice to plow through the first day? Like some people are hosting a national radio and TV show for 3 consecutive days after that first day.
What do you think we're going to do the first day?
I think we'll probably do some pub hopping and some sightseeing and get a lay of the land and see where our studio is and all that good stuff. But I don't know, telling someone to plow through the day when you then have to host a show the next 3 days, that may apply to someone else's profession or maybe they're working part-time.
Why are you a buzzkill already?
Am I ready?
Oh, I thought you were going to say all the time.
No, just now. You're not going to be a buzzkill in Dublin, are you?
I don't think so. I'm excited. I think we're going to have a lot
of
fun.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I think Todd's worried about how strenuous the time's going to be for the job that we do, that we got to make sure that we don't blow our rest schedule.
Todd, we're talking sports from
two. I know, but we still have responsibilities.
For 3 hours.
We're talking sports from 2 until 5 in the afternoon.
All right, but if you plow through the first day and then you wake up with some kind of horrible headache and all of a sudden before you know it, you're on the air, you can't plow through the first day if you're doing a show the next day.
You're a buzzkill.
I'm sorry.
How about just positive thoughts?
I think it's
no
going to be
negatives.
Great.
Look,
no
they don't
negative.
Actually mean go plow a field through the day. They just mean don't take a nap.
Yeah, you,
that's all we're talking about. Is
well,
not
I thought
taking
plow
a nap.
Through the day would mean drink your head off, and then you know, and then you'll just do that. Experience that for the first
time. How about
day.
You just stay awake? How's that?
That's all it is.
Okay. I was unfamiliar with the use of the term plow through the first day.
Oh my God.
I thought that meant like hit all the pubs and try everything and
no, I thought you meant that you had to plow a field or something. No.
You just don't take a nap.
Yeah, that's all. You kind of plow
mistake.
Through it. Have you ever heard that expression? You got to plow through it.
Right. So
that doesn't mean you're going to go get hammered.
When you land in Europe, let's say we landed hypothetically at 9 a.m. If you go to your hotel at noon, you'll be asleep all afternoon if you lay down. And then you'll try to get up for dinner and you'll be a mess. And then you won't be able to sleep and you'll be worse the next day. Instead of having a big old cup of coffee at 10 a.m. and trying to get to 10 p.m. and have a few beers.
Yeah, but what does this mean? I mean, do we have to get a truck in order to hook a plow up to it? Is someone going to take care of that for us?
It's going to be light out till 10:30 at night. That's going
to
be weird.
Snow plow? It's going to be so light, you know, I won't be able to sleep because the light will be coming into my room.
Is it really light out till 10:30 at night? That's wild.
Yes, it is.
That's fascinating to me.
Thank you, Todd.
You can look outside your hotel window at 8:15 p.m. when you're...
With my bangers and mash to go.
When you're getting plowed or you're plowing.
Fair enough.
877-3DP show.
Doing some damage on the side.
Oh, God. There's part of me that wishes you were single.
I am going to ask the bride if I could have like one whatever that might. If something was to come up and there would be a situation, we think she'd give me like one of those Ireland hall passes. Because I think she'd say, if you could find someone that would be interested in doing that with you, go for it. That's kind of been her attitude.
Okay, wait a minute. Who's the bride?
My wife. Instead of the old lady, I'm just kind of mixing up the terms.
Okay.
If I ask Jennifer, I'm going to be in Ireland, and if something pops up at the pub.
Whoa.
You know, how far can I go with that?
It always pops up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, basic flirting. What can be
I
done?
Would love to know what would change if your wife said, hey, I'm going to give you a hall pass.
Probably nothing.
Like, what's your plan?
Oh, like would I have the courage to really actually do
like
that?
Like if we went to Dublin and all of a sudden you got a hall pass.
I think I would do my regular flirting, and then once we got into a position where something could actually happen, I would probably chicken out and say, I'm married, I can't do this. And then I would show her out of the hotel room door, and then she'll go down the elevator, and that's the end of that.
Yeah, Paul.
So you'd break a little Irish heart over there? I mean, the girl's all excited to meet a big-time celebrity from America? Big-time sports radio booker?
You are the keeper's heart.
Right.
And you break it.
You want to see whose phone numbers I got?
I will try not to break too many hearts. Yeah.
It's really hot.
I brought the book through customs.
Yeah.
I know Matt LeBov. No big deal. No big deal.
Yeah. I know Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Sandman.
I'm not expecting that opportunity to present.
It would
itself.
Be so all guys, though. If you showed a woman your black book of sorts or whatever your booking list is, it'd be all guys.
Fred, Brian, yeah, Corbin, like, you know, George.
Yeah, she'd be like, okay, will I recognize these names? Yeah. Yeah. Will Ferrell, Brian Cranston, Reggie Miller. Oh, keep talking, Todd. Slow down.
Yeah, I know how to get them all worked up.
So you prefer text or email? So, and then you follow up with a reminder.
That's your LinkedIn.
How do you handle all that?
You're a brilliant mind. You're a beautiful mind.
I'm not going to bang her on mass with you. We're not going to talk like that. I don't know what they say. I don't know what the term is.
I think we're bringing our Traeger grill. Traeger over there to cook bangers and mash, shepherd's pie, maybe some blood pudding. I think we're going to have Chad from Traeger go over there with us. I hope Will Ferrell's still going with us. I haven't talked to him in a week or so. Yes, Eaton.
That's one of the things that I love about Chad from Traeger so much. That he's just kind of like, oh, you're going? Yeah, we'll go. Oh, Ireland? Cool, yeah, I'll go. He's just kind of always, yeah, I'll bring the grills. I'll go.
What took us 7 years to prepare for, he's like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I know.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah. Yeah, Marv.
What's blood pudding?
I don't know what it is. I tried it once. I don't need to try it again. But, you know, the guys who were from Ireland yesterday who came here, they're like, oh, blood pudding. And then, of course, you have people who have these great accents. And then Fritzy, he does like an Australian accent to people from Ireland. I go, Todd.
It's terrible.
It is.
Or some pirate. I said something about me hearties. That's not what it is.
Know.
Has nothing to do with that.
I know. I go, what? You're a pirate.
We're not pirates, Todd.
Yes.
It's very disrespectful.
Paulie. Blood pudding, it looks like a little cake, almost like a crab cake, a bigger crab cake. Mm. It's dark. It's mixed with like oatmeal and blood sausage.
Yeah.
And so there's meat in it, and it's also a little doughy.
Yeah, I had it once.
I don't know what you're talking about. Shots. Yeah, why? What is that about?
A shot.
Save that after the show. Yeah,
a little
shot.
Doughy.
That wasn't necessary.
They're champions in the paint and in the pocket, showing their skills on the green. The Stars come out. Lake Tahoe, the American Century Championship. That will be coming up on NBC and Peacock this weekend. Poll question for the final hour of this Thursday program is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Oh, dear. Todd is just the best. We put in there, would you rather know why Malcolm Butler was benched in the Super Bowl? What happened to JFK or why Michael Jordan went to Major League Baseball?
Okay. That's a fair question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, believe it or not, this is going to shock you. JFK's running away
okay.
with it.
Oh. Yeah.
67% of the vote. Malcolm Butler, there's only 11% that are interested in that, but man, do I just want to know so bad.
Yeah, I know you do, but I mean, I want to know about JFK.
Yeah.
Obviously. JFK. Yes, Todd.
What is the prevailing belief? Weed, curfew? What are the different things they're saying as to if Bill Belichick and Butler never, ever, you know, tell us what really happened?
I don't know what was, you know, there was probably a lot of speculation as to why he was there for the opening kickoff. That's what baffled me, because I thought maybe he got injured. And then I realized he was there for the opening kickoff, then he got benched. So I didn't know the significance of, we got to have him out there for the opening kickoff, but as far as Nick Foles carving up the secondary, he's going to be on the bench.
Or just how cruel it is to be like, oh, yeah, no, you're going to play. Yeah, yeah. Here's one kickoff that you did, and then not play him ever again.
Do you think that during the week when he got suspended, or you know, Belichick had a meeting with him, said, hey, you know what, you're going to be disciplined. Am I going to play in the Super Bowl? Yeah, you're going to play.
Technically.
Yeah.
Opening kickoff. Yeah, Paul.
I found a few in-depth stories about this, and we were surprised because we thought Malcolm Butler, he's a sure thing. He had a good season. He's a playoff hero. We were surprised because we found out minutes before the game. A bunch of stories report that Matt Patricia and he got into a bit of a confrontation about his effort during the middle of the week, and he was made second unit. So a couple players like Devin McCourty said they knew that he was second unit all week, and they weren't that surprised that he didn't start that day, but everyone else was surprised.
Okay, why wasn't he in on the other kickoffs then if he's not good enough to be in the secondary?
Malcolm Butler, a lot of people speculate he was surprised because he thought, well, I'm second unit for these practices as a punishment. On game day, they're going to start me because I'm needed.
Yeah, but it still doesn't explain why he wasn't on the kickoffs, because the Eagles scored quite a few points that day, so he could have been on the kickoff team. Yes,
I mean, there's a big difference between not starting and not playing at all.
And at some point, you go, boy, the secondary is really bad because Nick Foles is carving us up. Maybe we put the guy who's on second team in there.
Do we have anybody here with experience in the Super Bowl who maybe could help right now? Let me look down the bench right here and see if there's anybody who can step up in a big moment.
Yes, Boeing.
There's a lot of speculation day of that I could find and day after that it was some type of behavior thing or an incident or staying out late or breaking curfew. I can't find anything that confirms that. It was all play related from the articles I found from different Patriots reporters. But nobody has it.
Well, that would fit with the Patriots way that they would make it. It was play performance.
It
wasn't something that had to do with breaking curfew.
He was their best player. He was their best corner. He was their best, you know, defensively anyway.
Yeah, it's odd. That one's still a mystery. But, you know, as far as the other top five sports mysteries, like the Battle of the Sexes, Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, and that he threw the match.
Well, Stephon Gilmore was pretty good.
Yeah, Stephon Gilmore was better.
But either way, you still have Malcolm Butler sitting there. What the heck?
Yeah.
Trying out Patrick Chung.
There's a lot of articles right after the Super Bowl because it's a loss that, you know, you can make your point. You could not put him in the starting lineup and that would be, you know, a hit.
Yeah.
But at some point, you put him in the game, especially when his backup was not doing that well.
The ESPYs were last night. It's the greatest night in sports. I didn't watch. I just saw some of the clips, including LeBron, when he got up there, and he won an award for best record-breaking performance, and his family was up there. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were there. You know, they're sort of the Lewis and Martin Abbott and Costello, you know, feels like they're kind of a comedy duo. You got the straight man in Mahomes. You got Kelce, who's a little goofy, a little bit funny. Actually, Kelsey's got a big-time personality to do a lot of different things. Mahomes isn't that way. Also, that the NFL quarterback show that has Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, and Patrick Mahomes, and followed them last year, Marcus Mariota. Man, when they have NFL films and they have the quarterbacks mic'd up and you really get to hear, like Mahomes is really interesting. If I'm on the field and what he says to defensive players, that is fun. But I love when a player will go up to another player and go, I'm mic'd up, just so you know, I'm mic'd up. And then that player immediately walks away from that player because he didn't want to say anything. Because we were wondering about Hard Knocks. I mean, if you wanted to do Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks might be what's going on with John Gruden and Daniel Snyder and Roger Goodell, even though they would never have access. But that is a real drama. And now with the Jets, here's Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, on Hard Knocks.
I haven't gotten word or anything like that. I know there's several teams that would love for Hard Knocks to be in their building. We're just not one of them. So.
Well, that was back on June 9th, where they were doing their best to sidestep there. But ultimately, you know, there's only four teams that were technically eligible for this. And it felt like the Lions wanted to do it again, but I didn't want to hear from the Lions. That was last year. Great story. Charismatic head coach. It's the Jets. But I wonder, what if they say to Hard Knocks, you know what, we're not going to accommodate you, or you have certain, you know, let's say Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't want any part of this, but that's part of Hard Knocks, then I would find that interesting. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers, he might just say, look, I'm not available here. You know, focus on some of the younger players. I don't want this attention here. But I would still love to see Zach Wilson through Zach Wilson's eyes of what he sees with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm sorry, did you just say Aaron Rodgers didn't want it?
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of the stars of Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, of course.
Purpose? No, he's not going to do like the J.J. Watt or Tim Tebow.
Whoa. Yeah, he's going to do the Aaron Rodgers He's going to do. He's going to do. You're right, he's not going to do either one of those. He's going to do the Aaron Rodgers.
What was cheesier, though, J.J. Watt or Tim Tebow?
Does cheesier mean awesome?
Yeah.
Captain America working out?
Oh, my God.
You know, hey, JJ was doing a night workout. He didn't see the cameras there.
It's like 5 hours after everybody's left, but he's still out there.
Last one in the building, dude.
This is what makes JJ want
rearrange the sprinklers so they were hitting him.
Yeah, he did. But when Tim Tebow had his shirt off and he was running in slow motion, Or was he running in slow motion? I don't know, but he was running through the rain. And I was like, oh, my God. And then he was lifting that big tire. And I go, oh, my gosh. So hot.
So hot.
So hot. I think that's how Liev Schreiber, the voiceover guy, and Tim Tebow, running in the rain, so hot. So unbelievably hot. Yeah. The weather.
That's great.
But J.J. Watt would be there.
He's with the best.
The Jugs gun would be there.
J.J.'s the best.
Cutting off T-shirts.
Yeah.
Right?
Good-ass dude.
Good-ass dude, man.
That's a good-ass dude right there.
Stopping by some schools.
Yeah, helping some kids across the crosswalk.
Yeah. While lifting. Yeah. He was doing curls.
Yeah, curls. Yeah.
Helping some old ladies.
Yeah. He had the belt on, you know, the crossing guard gets. You know, be like, come here. Come on. Let's go. He does it on the field and off. That's why he's a Hall of Famer and a good-ass dude. Yes.
You see, he and his brother made the Wheaties box this week.
Oh, great.
What was the delay there? About 10 years late, Wheaties? Hey, why don't we call J.J. Watt?
Let me take a break here. Yeah, J.J.'s supposed to join us since he's now become a broadcaster for CBS.
Right. He said he owes us one. He'll do it soon.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break back after this. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. How did we get by without Tire Rack before this? That's what I want to know, because they have mobile tire installation in a lot of areas. That means they bring the tires to you at your home or your office and install them on site. We had them come out here in the man cave. Picture day, Ray got four new tires, and they changed the tires in less than an hour, about 45 minutes. They have the full lineup of Vredestein tires shipped fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. Free road hazard protection, and they have the easy-to-use tire decision guide. That means you're going to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. They got a test track where they test the tires. Then they give you all the information. Go to TireRack.com/Dan and see their Vredestein test results and special offers. So it's TireRack.com/Dan. And once again, tell them that we sent you. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. I have something for you. We showed a video of the, the Savannah Bananas baseball team, minor league baseball team. They're sort of a globetrotter-like team, very entertaining, good baseball players, but it's an atmosphere when you go to this minor league ballpark. And they have a rule there. I don't know if it's for their games or in that league, where if you catch a foul ball, it's an out for the other team. If they're at the plate, the opposition, and they hit a foul ball down the third base line and a fan catches it, then the batter's out. They had a walk-off win the other night because there was a fan down the left field line who caught the ball. Foul ball, game over. The fan goes out on the field celebrating with the players. And the reason why I bring this up, you know, we talk about rule changes, and I'm okay with rule changes. I don't like the runner at second base to start the 10th inning, but, you know, new rules, okay, I'm fine with that. No shift in baseball. All right, pitch clock, okay. Here's one that I did not remember. And do you know that there was a player who stole first base? So the first player that this ever happened to on this date in 2019. You guys ever heard this story? Yeah, Paul.
We all had the same look on our faces. Yeah. How do you steal first base?
He stole first base. They had an experimental rule change. And this is Major League Baseball in the independent Atlantic League. Southern Maryland Blue Crabs outfielder Tony Thomas became the first player in professional baseball history to steal first base. Now, I did a little research, which might surprise you, but this is how it happened. So he stole first base. Let me explain everything here, because I was a little curious about this. So during the game, this happened in the sixth inning. Tony Thomas was at the plate, bottom of the sixth inning, where a pitch bounced behind the catcher towards the backstop. Thanks to the experimental rule, he was able to steal first and make history. The rule stated that batters may steal first base on any pitch not caught in flight, and the batter may be thrown out if he tries to run. You're at the plate, wild pitch, you can run to first, and if you get there safely, then you're safe, but you can be thrown out at first base. Would that be interesting in Major League Baseball? Would you rather have that rule, or if you catch a foul ball, that it's an out? Yeah, Paulie.
Can we make that a home run? If the home fans catch a home run, the batter who hit the home run is actually out. Then maybe make it a little more special than a foul ball?
Yeah, but I don't know if I want home run. If you hit a home run, you should be rewarded. But if you hit a foul pop-up, right. I mean, imagine if Steve Bartman had caught the foul ball.
Oh. And then
there was an out.
That would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
For him especially.
Yeah, but he didn't have a glove. Did he just have his headphones on and his radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't have a glove there. But imagine if he had a glove and he caught it, and then he'd be a hero. But I just saw that. That was this day in sports history. Back in 2019, that this player stole first base. All right, some phone calls in here. By the way, the Buccaneers uniforms, creamsicle, is coming back. It's week 6 that they're going to unveil these against the Detroit Lions. How often can you go creamsicle?
They can do a couple a year. The big deal with this creamsicle version is they got the white helmets with the orange jerseys because okay. You know, for a while it was the jerseys and the helmets had to match. So we're going full creamsicle, not partial.
Hmm.
And you know, a lot of people think Brady might run out in it.
Okay, but how often does a team that's not good have good uniforms? Because when the creamsicle originally came out in the mid-70s, Tampa Bay was terrible. Therefore, we associated creamsicle with bad football. The Padres in the early 70s had bad uniforms, but they were bad as well. Yes, Marv?
Charlotte Hornets. Didn't even matter what their record was.
Yeah, but they were good, though.
But even if they were bad, they still would have had great uniforms.
Wasn't that Perry Ellis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who designed those?
And no, Alexander Julian, I think.
Oh, is that who it was?
Checking my fashion. Yeah. I'm not sure. You might be right, Dan. How about the Cleveland Browns back in the day, in the 80s? Did people generally like those with the stripes? And they weren't good.
Yeah, but they had a history of being really good.
Yeah.
So you'd already established that they were good with those uniforms. And then when they weren't, then we would still say, but I still love those uniforms. How about the Saints?
Early Saints?
The Aints? Seton?
It's almost like there's no new ideas. So I just go back to the old ones that we hated. It's like ugly things from 20 years ago all of a sudden become cool.
They become better looking over time, but I'm just curious about a bad uniform or a good uniform, bad team. How often that happens. It feels like there's an association of, oh man, I love those uniforms. Well, the team is good. The Raptors, they had a run there with Vince Carter. But they were still a playoff caliber team.
They also had new team bad uniforms. Oh. New teams always have bad uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
When you were a kid, were those Chargers teams good or just good looking?
They were both.
Really? Like in the late 60s and 70s, they were pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But they had fun players. They had dynamic players. And they, you know, when you have a quarterback whose number is 21, and he looks like he could have been running a deli around the corner, John Hadle, like you would... If I said, hey, who's the quarterback in the room? You'd go, well, not that guy. That guy was the quarterback, and he was a really good quarterback. But they had Lance Allworth, Gary Garrison. They had Dickie Post. I mean, they had a lot of good, exciting players, but those uniforms made them look even faster. Yeah, Paul.
I would say the 70s Patriots uniforms and maybe the 60s, 70s Atlanta Falcons uniforms, those don't seem to be very good teams, but they were cool uniforms.
Yeah, the Falcons were pretty good. That uniform was nice. Steve Bartkowski era?
Maybe even a little earlier, like the Tommy Nobis black uniform, white pant, red helmet striped down the middle. That's peak.
Yes, Todd.
They had some good years, but like during the Dan Pastorini era, there wasn't all good years. Those light blue uniforms with the helmet that looked like an oil...
The Oilers?
Yeah, they used to...
No, I thought that was a great uniform.
Love that. I know you had Earl Campbell and White Shoes Johnson, Kenny Burrow and Curly Culp and all that, but there were some years where they were bad, but they still had those nice light blue uniforms going.
Eric in Chicago. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind today?
Hey, I was going to say one of the unanswered questions you guys never talked about was the Black Sox scandal. There's a lot of things that have never been definitively answered. I think that should.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Eric. Yeah, the 1919 Black Sox. It feels like those questions were answered. Shoeless Joe Jackson? Yeah, Marv.
We saw 8 Men Out. We know how it happened.
Yeah. It feels like there's been books written about that, a movie written about, or a movie. Yeah, Pauline.
The thing with Shoeless Joe Jackson, there's a lot of people who say he must not have participated in it because he played so well. He hit like 375. But then all the accusations said he was in on it, knew about it, and did get paid something.
He wasn't considered a bright man. And he might have signed something and not known that he was signing something, that he was going to take part in this throw in the World Series. Rob in Indiana. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, sir? I just want to say I am Rob from Indiana, born 10-10-69. I love you, Fritzy. Same birthday.
There you go.
Usain Bolt, I'm sorry. Usain Bolt getting hit by the Segway. That guy did it on purpose. Look at the video. That's my greatest mystery of all time.
Okay. I forget Usain Bolt getting hit by a Segway. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, there was a photographer on a Segway, and a bunch of them had them to get to other parts of the track, and he ran over Usain Bolt's foot moments before the World Championships.
I'm assuming Usain Bolt still won.
He still was fine.
Yeah. Oh, so he thinks that this guy went out of his way to...
He, like a Nancy Kerrigan type situation.
Ooh.
Is what this guy's accusing.
Why? Yes, Marvin.
We forgot about the one seed of great uniforms, average team, North Carolina college football.
Oh, there's emeritus.
It feels like every year there'd be a guy from North Carolina, and he'd be one of the top 15 players, and you go, how? I don't even know this guy. Well, we wouldn't watch North Carolina football, but those are great uniforms. Great call by you. Dan in South Carolina. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Hey. I got an Unsolved Mystery Sports Edition for
okay.
you.
Okay, all right.
Was it the flu or food poisoning for Jordan?
Oh, I would put maybe other in there. Maybe other. I said this probably, was it last year or the year before? I was in Park City, Utah. And what's that distillery there?
A High West?
High West. And there were a couple of guys who were working there as bartenders who were working the night that Jordan was in. He stayed in Park City when the Bulls played the Jazz, NBA Finals. And that they were working, they were playing cards, and they kept, two guys kept saying, hey, we were there. There's no food poisoning. And I go, well, are you sure? Because then maybe it was booze poisoning. I don't know. But they seemed to think that it was not the flu. They said flu. They didn't say food poisoning because that story had not come out yet, I don't think. But I remember them saying that they were there working the party. And I guess they were playing cards. And then Jordan that next day showed up and looked gray. Yeah, Paulie.
What's really interesting, if you go back and watch Stuart Scott, I don't know if you were hosting it as well. I think you were out there.
I was there.
Yeah, so Stuart Scott was back home in Bristol and hosting SportsCenter. That night on the late SportsCenter referenced bad pizza or bad food. Like, I don't know. Stuart was pretty plugged in NBA. I don't know if that had already circulated around there that night.
Yeah, because I'm out in the field and I'm doing the interviews after the game. And I remember hearing Stuart say that on the air. And I'm like, we didn't have any information about that, but he was plugged in with Jordan's camp, being, you know, both North Carolina alums. And, you know, maybe he found out through somebody there that Jordan was sick from that. But I remember him saying that on SportsCenter. Let's see. Bob in Montana. Hi, Bob.
Hey, DP. I guess it turns out we were in the exact same area last week. I was in that Wise River area myself working for the man on Thursday. So I guess I just missed you.
Okay.
But hey, the greatest sports mystery of all time, did Wilt Chamberlain actually sleep with 10,000 women in his lifetime?
I think it's 20,000.
Get your facts right, Bob.
Yeah. It wasn't a mystery with 10,000. 20,000, maybe. Wilt had to be a really busy guy. You know? Really busy.
Scoring 100 wasn't his most impressive feat.
No. No. Apparently not. No video of either one of them. Yeah,
we looked at the ratio. If you think he started relations at age, 20, okay, that would be 1.4 women per day.
Okay.
Yeah, from the rest of his life. That means, you know, 1, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Or 3.
Right, and an off day.
Off day.
Yeah, because you don't have back-to-backs.
Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The truly brilliant all-electric EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz features some of the smartest tech ever to grace four wheels. With Dynamic Select, you can fine-tune hundreds of vehicle settings to precisely match your driving style. And available in off-road mode, transparent hood lets you see through the sheet metal to steer clear of bumps and potholes directly beneath you. How about that? A 360 array of cameras and sensors constantly alerting you for danger, while 64-color ambient lighting lets you fully customize the ambiance inside the spacious cabin. The EQE SUV is so smart, even the headlights are thinking. Optional digital light technology projects navigation markings and warnings on the road ahead as you drive. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Test drive the EQE SUV. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow? Oh, the logo. Jerry West will join us on the program. DraftKings has which NFL team will have the most regular season wins? Yeah, this isn't any fun. It's the Chiefs. Eagles are in there. Let's see. The odds that DeAndre Hopkins is going to join the Titans, plus 500. Yesterday, he moved to minus 300. So DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans, looks like that's going. Patriots are second. Then it's the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And that's about it as far as gambling goes. Odds go. By the way, Todd was talking about if he was able to get a hall pass from his wife and if he was in Dublin. He goes, my wife was listening to that segment with our son in the car.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So how'd that go over?
It didn't go poorly. She basically sent me a text saying, even if I give you a hall pass, you're all talk. Nothing would happen.
Well,
I've been challenged.
Well, let's prove her wrong, Todd. Yeah, you get over Dublin all of a sudden.
It sounds like that the hall pass is it. She's basically saying no one's going to be interested and you're not going to be able to pull that off. And if you're able to, good luck.
Is that how you read it, or is that what she said?
I took it as a challenge. Hey, you know, go for yours if you can get it.
Okay. All right.
What could be very mistaken.
What if your wife wants a hall pass?
Oh, that's a whole other story. Yeah, I guess it has to work both
ways.
No,
yes, it works both ways.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay.
Should probably pull the plug on that whole thing.
We have a running backs quiz. I'm not sure where it came from, but I always love a good running back quiz. We were talking about...
The answer is Walter Payton.
Oh.
Ah, dang it. All right, moving on.
How did we get on the running backs kick?
We were talking about Saquon and getting paid.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And guys who were a bit underrated.
Yeah. And I said that Ricky Waters might be the most underrated running back.
He may be one of the answers here.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Here we go.
There are 21 running backs in NFL history that have produced 7 1,000-yard seasons, 1,000 or more. Of those 21, there are only 9 who had 7 1,000-yard seasons and 400 receptions in their career. That meant they were all-purpose backs. And long careers, great careers. Can you name any of the 9?
Well, there are 9, so there's 6 of the 9 that are Hall of Famers. That means we have to name the 3 who aren't Hall of Famers.
I'll give you the Hall of Famers.
So Ricky Waters is one of the 3 that's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Emmitt Smith, Curtis Martin, Walter Payton, Tomlinson, Falk, and Edgerrin James all have seven 1,000-yard seasons and at least 400 receptions.
All right. Yes, Todd.
No, I had Marshall Faulk for one of the Hall of Famers. I was going to go Wilbert Montgomery for the, one of the three that has not.
Incorrect, but no. not bad.
Yes, Marv.
I'm going to say Roger Craig.
I don't think he had seven 1,000-yard seasons.
No, he always would have like, you know, 800, 900 yeah. yards. He okay. did not make it. So one of the answers is Ricky Waters. There's two more.
Taylor from Jacksonville?
No, he didn't have enough, but he's right on the cusp
Fred,
of that.
Fred Taylor?
One of these guys is considered a compiler. The other had a great career, but the team didn't do a ton.
Mm. Yeah, Marv.
Frank Gore?
Frank Gore is correct. Nine 1,000-yard seasons and 484 catches.
Okay.
All right. This guy, oh, man, great running back. Had him on the show a few times. We actually ran into him at a football game once. Hint for the
Not game. On the field.
No.
Like we didn't run into him thank God at no. a game. Okay. Eddie George.
Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson. Oh, wow. That's a big guy.
Eight 1,000-yard seasons.
That's a big dude.
Yep. Yeah, it is a big
that's
dude.
That's a big dude. Yeah. Yeah. Dorsey in Utah. Hey, Dorsey.
Hello.
Hey, Dorsey.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
Hey, yeah, I'm the bartender guy that you talked to about the Michael Jordan thing, and it's a combination of both. It was a combination of our crappy food and the fact that they were partying. So it is kind of an A and a B kind of thing out of that situation.
Okay, so Dorsey, how do you confirm? Can you confirm anything with?
I mean, I can't confirm it. It was a place called Lakota that doesn't exist anymore. But I've been to, since day one, since the next day when they started talking about the flu game, I was like, no way. They were partying. My boss, who owned the place, a guy named Jerry Rubacki, he was partners with Jim Lampley. So he and his buddies, you remember in the last dance
documentary,
thing, Jordan says, a bunch of guys showed up. That was the owner and his buddies thinking that they were going to get in on the poker game somehow, that they were going to be able to just slide in because they knew Lampley. So they delivered food, and the seafood pizza that he ate, if you'd have asked me what not to eat in that restaurant back then, I would have told you don't ever eat the seafood pizza. Yeah.
But who else was in there with Jordan?
I think it was, from what I heard from the guys who, when they came back, it was pretty much a bunch of high rollers and a bunch of NBA players because they were staying right across the street from the place that we worked. Some guy from Pizza Hut tried to take a whole bunch of credit for it during the last dance. But, you know, Pizza Hut never had a seafood pizza. They didn't have a crappy shrimp pizza like we did. And it was directly across the street. Yeah, thank you. I got breaking news.
Yeah, thank you. Dorsey, are you a Florida State fan?
I am. I'm the guy that told me. Yes, I am that guy too.
Okay, I just wanted to remember. I think I was giving you grief about Florida State football when I was in there.
You were. You said a certain word that we can't say on the air twice to me about Florida State University.
Thanks for calling in, Dorsey. All right. Yeah, I went to the distillery and was at the bar. And next thing I know, I'm talking football, and then we talk Michael Jordan, and he was telling me what happened that night. So it wasn't Pizza Hut because they don't do seafood pizza, apparently.
We didn't have a crappy shrimp pizza like we did.
Breaking news. Solving a mystery.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
Got a couple. First World Cup in Uruguay. Not Uruguay. Uruguay. 1982 All-Star Game was played outside the United States. It was played in? Anyone? Montreal, Canada.
Montreal.
And who sang "Oh Canada" before the All-Star Game in Baltimore's Camden Yards in 1995? One of the most angelic voices of all time.
Michael Bolton?
Geddy Lee of Rush. Back to you, Dan.
Todd, what'd you learn today?
Lucky for us, surprise, LeBron James will be continuing his basketball career.
Seton O'Connor.
LeBron is coming back.
Yeah. Marvin.
Seton says Dame should blame himself.
Paulie?
Flu game mystery solved.
Yeah. What did I learn, Todd?
Mike Florio says this is the first time a team did not want to participate in Hard Rocks, but got picked anyway, New York Jets.
And Hard Knocks, too.
I say Hard Rocks?
Get fired up for epic meals. Traeger portable grills for the upcoming tailgate season. The new Ironwood grill loaded with enhanced features. You're going to love it. The Flat Rock flat top grill, you're going to love it. Traeger grills, making wood-fired flavor easy. Have a great day, everybody.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real. Wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.